You think you know about relationships, but you're wrong. Listen, there's no magic bullet. I'm teaching life skills.
When he's sick, you need medicine. It don't always taste good.
Nah.
But it'll get you better. You need this medicine.
Yeah.
It ain't gonna always taste good, but this is what you need. Men and women, bottom line, we need to have the conversation. Your partner wants to give up control, but only if you know how to drive. This is about being the best you could ever be, whoever you are. I don't care if you're a man, a woman, LGBTQ, space aliens. I'll save anybody. I don't care. I'll teach a hedgehog how to have a threesome.
What do you mean by that?
Look, you don't have to listen to me, but you're wrong.
Listen, I know I'm great. And I know you're thinking, Dante, there's no way I could be like you. But you could be me, you know why?
Because you know who I was before I was me? I was you! You
man score 202.
Better hear what I've got to say because you won't get it again.
I'm not an alpha male. I'm not a beta male either. I'm just a better man. Better man. Well, put your happiness first, because if you don't, they won't.
What's up, Square Pimp again on this episode? I am so fucking excited. This is a special show. GYBB, Get Your Balls Back. WWDD, What Would Dante Do? The Sexual Revolution is being podcasted, and it's another special show because we have a special guest. But first and foremost, Harry, how are you doing?
Me? Oh, my goodness. I'm having a great time, Dante. Although it's very tough. I'm trying to keep these gators down during the holiday season. It's difficult. Nobody says that.
Trey, you in the building?
What up, man?
You got a bag of weed.
Dylan, what up,
yo? A whole bag of weed.
I think Dre's background finally matches what's going on inside his head when he smokes that volcano.
Nothing.
If you want to see it, go to the YouTube channel. But it's a photo negative of reality. What did you go with this time, Andre?
That's me.
That's you right there.
It's back.
It's just a blemish. You're just a blemish on your brain.
Nah, it's like abstract surrealism using a Dadaist philosophy.
Yeah, that's Matt Banksy, yo.
Banksy. Is Banksy the hood version of Banksy? Like the knockoff? Like when you get your mom would buy you Mikey sneakers?
It's actually the real shit. He bit.
Ain't that the funniest thing though, G?
What?
How everything is called the black version of. Yeah. Meanwhile, the reality is, y'all the white versions of us.
Yeah.
You motherfuckers bitch y'all whole style, y'all everything from my essence.
So I think
y'all try to be me. Y'all love my style.
You love my style. Yo, give
first
it
all,
up.
I'm not white. Morning. I'm not white. Just want to throw that out there. PSA,
Andre,
not white.
You a white man.
Yeah, it's Andre X Thompson.
Yeah.
He changed his name to
Malcolm
X.
Dre.
Malcolm Dre. Why don't you do the honors, Harry?
In the midst of all this chaos, we're welcoming a guest, a return guest, who
friend of the show all day, every day.
Talented comedian, podcaster, and was the last guest we had in studio before we locked everything down. So we want to get an update what's going on. The wonderful, the talented Amanda Gale is with us.
Yeah.
Amanda, thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me.
All day, every day. Amanda actually wrote that intro.
She said,
could you please add all day, every day to the end of my shit?
And then in parentheses, she put extra ethnic. She's like aggressively urban.
She put mad flavor.
Mad flavor in the delivery.
And I was like, all right, I could do that. And she was like, fuck you, bitch, harder. I was like, all right. I guess.
Fuck you, bitch.
I don't know why that's so hostile. Anyway, Amanda, how you doing, sweetheart? It's good to see you.
Good to see you. I'm doing great. I'm happy to be here.
You look like it's like no pandemic at all. We look like we in the Book of Eli. You look like it's
Book of Eli.
You know, like you look like you're in the city of Guardians of the Galaxy. Anyway, whatever.
No, well, Amanda is took this seriously as a professional. She's this is an appearance for her.
Yeah.
What do you mean? I took this seriously. This is just as ugly as I is.
Is that your performing sweatshirt, your hoodie?
It's my dress hoodie.
Yes.
At least get
that's my Sunday hoodie.
At least, you know, do something like Elvis. Get some like diamond studs on the side that says Andre or something.
Amanda, before you came on, Andre did this.
Yo, I'm still stuck on this my dress hoodie.
That's your formal
hoodie?
Thank
you for saying that.
Your formal hoodie that you wear for for church and court appearances?
Genuinely, thank you for saying that.
I feel like I got the COVID and the SARS together. My eyes look like two vaginas.
When did that happen? What happened to you?
I don't know what's going on. I got allergies. It's wilding out. My allergies. Look.
My eyes look like two vaginas.
Oh, my goodness.
Yo, you should try to find plants that has an antihistaminic effect that can help with your neutralizing allergy.
I went to school with antihistamine.
didn't she used to make Thanksgiving for everybody? Antihistamine?
Yeah. She had a brother named Nasal. Remember? Anyway.
It's a good family.
Yo, let's get going. We don't want to waste Andre's dress hoodie. You know what I mean?
Yeah, this is important. It's a goofy mood today, but welcome Amanda for coming through. You are looking great. You're dressed up for the event. We appreciate that.
She looking all post pandemic and shit. Like when you look at Amanda, it's like, yo, this shit is over, son. I feel like stop being sheeple and wearing masks. And then right. They look at us and we like, yo, this is the Book of Eli, my dude. I'm baby wiping myself down and try to charge up my iPod. What's been going on, man? How you been holding up? I mean, because last time we saw you was right at the end, just before the shutdown.
I know that was the beginning of it, but I don't know. Like you said, I've loved this pandemic. I don't have to see anyone if I don't want to see them.
Dope.
I'm like, can we do this every year? This is great. I love staying in my apartment. So I was born for this.
Yeah, it's like, see, you live in life like me, because I don't want to do nothing. I just don't do it.
Oh.
Like, my boy be like, yo, you don't come out. Nah, because I don't like you.
Wow, I got to get with like you.
Yeah, I'm not doing awkward. I don't want to do awkward ever.
Amanda, all right, so last time we talked about it, at the time, you did not have, you weren't seeing anybody, and your proclamation was that you will not sleep with anybody unless you are they are officially your boyfriend, right? That was the stance.
Yeah.
So a couple questions here. One, has this pandemic changed any aspect of that? And well, let's go with that first.
No, I haven't had sex with anyone this whole pandemic. I'm not seeing anyone. I have a boyfriend, and it has not been easy, but thank God for YouPorn, and thank God for
named a specific site.
Yes.
YouPorn.
It's
just the category.
Yes.
She's got brand loyalty, and I respect that. I respect
that.
Okay.
That is
YouPorn over Pornhub. Pornhub is messy.
Nah,
YouPorn is organized. I like the interface. I like the user experience. So I do YouPorn.
Holy shit.
You know what? I respect that. There's a couple sites I don't fuck with.
I never
with
said porn and interface in the same fucking sentence.
Look, I work in tech, so that's why I think about those
things. Let's be honest. YouPorn search engines are not what they should be. You put Ebony Double Anal, and you end up, there's a bunch of white girls on there. You like, come on. You can't make this better?
What Dante's saying, there needs to be some quality control over there at YouPorn, and he feels like they're dropping
it
the ball.
All in.
That's all the things I don't think about when I think about porn. I never thought about the logistics of the, you know, like somebody designed them websites. Amanda, she's like, that's the truth.
And they want to use her. It's got to be user-friendly.
I agree.
Amanda do the shit where she go to the porn site and scroll to the bottom to see who created the site first before she don't want to see no titties, dick, or nothing. Who powered this engine?
I have called customer service on YouPorn, actually. I have been like, can I speak to a manager? My, you know, I can't get my search engine right. So, I'm one of those.
That shit is crazy.
Anytime I need to get my money back.
I'll say this. There's some sites where you go, I don't think I'm getting the full results here. The search results are only pulling up limited stuff. You're like, I'm missing out. And that's the OCD part where I go, I need to see. I like to choose. I like to make my choice. and I don't appreciate them limiting my choices.
I definitely like XNXX and X video better than you porn. The user experience is more fluid.
User experience.
And, I can try that.
And I find the customer service, they don't leave you on hold a long time. They pick you right as soon as you call. Hello? It's a dude spanking while he's talking to you, but I mean, Amanda looks at a bukkake gangbang and goes like, the coding on this is all wrong.
Yeah, this should have more views. Yeah, this should have more views than it does.
What's wrong with this anyway? Okay. But so no dude, no COVID dick.
No,
going, none.
No.
God damn, you're not you're not ready to get the dust knocked off it yet? Not yet.
Yeah. No, I'm not. I mean, again, the moments of desperation, there's, you know, there's tools for me. So thank God this happened in 2020 and not 1985.
You didn't come off, you didn't get weak one time, just, you know, just some COVID knockdown.
From a past lover, maybe, but not, I say lover.
Oh, so like oh, you just dipping back in the cabinet. Like,
yeah, I would probably go to a guy that I've already hooked up with versus a new guy. I just like my trust. I don't know.
Yeah. Now,
is that because of trust sexually or trust COVID wise? You're like, ah, that guy seemed pretty clean.
It takes, I feel like men look at women that are attractive and like, oh yeah, I want to fuck her. And I don't really, and maybe I'm speaking just for myself, not all women.
No, well, I never say that. I never say that.
Not Dante, but I don't look at an attractive man and say, I want to fuck him. I say like, I want him to flirt with me. I want him to take me on a date. It takes me a while to want to like fuck someone.
You like a crock pot. You like a slow simmer.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Very few men have I seen. Yeah, exactly.
Do you think that's common amongst women, or are you an outlier in that situation, Amanda?
I think it might be common in the terms of, like, I think when men see any attractive woman, they think sex. And I think when women see an attractive man, they only see sex in certain men, not all men. Not every attractive man. That's what I think.
On the first part.
I mean, men don't, we don't, it's a lot, it's really,
it's a, not just attractive
it's a
women.
Lot of chicks we be like, nah.
No. I done looked at some shit where I'm like,
we
had
a lot of chicks on
doing?
The show where we was like, nah, I'm good.
Really?
I've caught myself before.
Oh, yeah.
Hold on. What Andre is saying is that it goes, even with unattractive women, you think about it sexually, like as if a man. I think I'm
friend, but her titties big. Yeah. I'd be like,
I'm with Andre, where you look at a woman, you go, I don't like all of that, but I could work with that. It's like if I was trapped on an island, or if like, could I make that work if I had to survive?
That's how most women look to me. It's like most women got something you could work with.
Yeah, but son, I think that's just youth. Cause I'm like, now I'm like, oh, here go this bitch with the big knees again. Can't fuck.
That's a possibility, but also,
cause one thing could disqualify you. Like, there's one thing that could disqualify you. Just like you'd be like, this is something I could work with. I'll be like, yo, I don't know why I keep going back to that chick with the big knees.
Yeah, that's come up a couple times. That seems to be haunting you as of recent. Did that happen over the holidays? Is that what it is? Every October?
It's just something that I always think. That was a real thing. I tell you, the real thing. It was a girl with giant knees. She had on like thigh highs, and it looked like she had like,
you know what I wonder?
Volleyball pads, knee pads under the thigh highs.
What's the quality of her meniscus? Does her having big ass knees imbue her with better tendons? Mm-hmm. Can she be like squatting at 98? Is she gonna be walking up?
She can squat in the bucket, son.
That's what I'm thinking. Like, does her big ass knees serve a purpose? You know what I mean? Probably. You ever heard the philosophy within the design, you denote the purpose? Maybe she was born to do some thick kneed shit and she hasn't found it yet.
Well, I mean, but that's what you would say back in the days in the Renaissance period, where you had like a buxom chick, and you was like, cause dudes were starving. They were like, oh, she could carry water, son. She could carry a lot of water.
Maybe she has just lived past her time. Her era was probably the 1700s, where it was mad thick knee activity going on.
She's like a raptor. She's like a,
you know what I'm saying? She could have been lit back in the day.
Yeah, I'm saying it might be the big knee era. I don't know. It might have been. We should look into that. Do some research.
I'm sure Charles Darwin has some evolution about what chicken knees
fuck Darwin
do. But Quick, I don't even know why. Fuck Darwin. I'm gonna get back to
yo,
the
yo, son. That's fighting words. Don't diss Darwin.
Darwin's the shit, bro. Darwin's the shit.
Fuck Darwin.
Oh boy, this is, you got to rep your set. Listen, Dante. You,
my set black than a motherfucker. Fuck Darwin.
Do you think, Dante, that you were less selective back in the day in your youth? Like, were you just about it?
Well,
it
when I was younger, I thought it was my obligation to fuck girls that wanted to fuck me.
Obligation? Like, yeah, you're helping like, out the community.
She want to fuck me. I mean, what I'm going to do? Tell her no? I can't tell her no.
So, Dante, like, I took an oath.
I'm like, I can't say no. Yo, just grab on that tree. Hold on to that tree. Give me a second. You know,
you've done it when you didn't really even care to.
Yeah, yeah. Like, yep. I felt obligated. When I was in my 20s, I felt obligated. Almost, I would say pressure.
Mm-hmm. I definitely pitched a couple bad games when I was just like, my heart not even in it.
And you bail?
I didn't even give a fuck. I was like, I weak dick, don't care. I'm not even here, bitch. I didn't want to be here.
Nah, I can't. I've never done that where I go. You know what I mean?
I did it.
Like, say for instance, you get a lovely young lady like Amanda and hasn't had the dust knocked off it since the COVID. And then she says, hey, come through and knock it down for me. And then I go in there half-assed. You got to represent for the... You got to rep.
Now, do you feel... Wait. Repping men? The black community? What are you repping? All of it.
Men.
All that.
I'm repping Asian dudes.
Team USA.
Everything. I'm repping Team Dick. Whatever that is.
Team Dick.
All right.
I was way more selfish in my endeavor.
Why do you think that is, Dante, though, that you felt like the pressure and requirements to do? Because I don't have that same perspective because I came from a place where I had to take what I could get at the time when I was younger.
I don't have that same perspective.
You don't. You're different, though. You don't have to take what you can get.
But I'm saying I don't share the same thing of, like, I'm trying to rep for Team Men.
Nah, what are you saying? You just Team Dre?
I'm about me. I don't feel like it today, bitch.
That's what it is. Just like that. I'm like, it's just, I'm like, do you know that there's dudes all over the world not getting no pussy? And you're going to waste
I've
that?
Had moments.
You're going to waste that?
It was.
There's dudes like, in Africa starving.
It was like whack. And then, you know, when you just come to like the stopping moment and then I just hit up like, all right, you want to just stop this? We could just not do this.
That happens every once in a while, but it's
and we just
pretty
throw
rare.
The clothes on and that's
once
it.
Once I'm there, I'm
you
there.
Don't even, you don't drink because Dre don't even know how to cuddle. So he can't even.
I mean,
how about a good cuddle? Like a half, you know, like a five and a nice cuddle.
Like I have a guy who's a five.
Five? No, like a performance.
Performance
and a nice cuddle. Like,
fuck all that.
Yeah, if I'm into the guy, that's great. It's so weird. It has to be a vibe. I can't even explain it if I want to sleep with a guy. It's a vibe. I can't even tell you.
I think that's what everybody,
though. Sometimes the guy's not cute. It's just like, it's weird. It's just weird.
I don't know. I didn't need a vibe back in the day. To be honest,
that's what I think the difference between men and women. I think women need a vibe, and men are like, she's pulse. Cute or not cute, whatever. She's a woman; she has a pulse, exactly.
Yeah, you know? I think men need you would like the
Harry's
vibe.
He's like,
to
look
be
at
there.
Her diaphragm; that bitch breathing,
going up and down. It's crazy. I can't even contain myself.
You know what they say: if she's breathing, play ball. That's how it works.
So, I mean,
I don't know who the fuck says that,
Harry. What we've really discussed here is that I'm a person who has just take on responsibility, and you guys are immature. That's
well,
the way
I
came
think
around.
I've been repping for Team Immature, bro.
That's your joint
squad, gang.
It's just team. I don't give a fuck.
Immaturity. I pay my taxes, but I'm immature.
That's just smart. That's just smart, man.
Amanda, do you think your perspective on that has changed, a different age, like, you know, 5 years ago or 10 years before that? Or has it always been you need a major vibe before you can hook up?
Yeah, I've always been like that. It's like, it's not consistent, the people that I'm sexually attracted to, you know? I mean,
it's not a consistent, type, you mean?
That's right, yeah. Sometimes they're very attractive, sometimes they're not, sometimes... It's just that's why dating apps are hard, because you're not get like you have to meet them in person, then you get their like aura, their vibe, their confidence, whatever it is. I don't know, but
the
X factor.
Sometimes yeah, I agree with that. It depends on the like that's the whole package. Like yeah, every once in a while I used to love a ugly girl.
Yeah,
because you could just filth like a filth ball. Yeah. Yeah. And then you just like riding a rental car at 130 miles an hour. It's like a Dodge Sienna.
And you pay for the insurance.
Yeah, you running up on the curb, hitting the speed bumps at 45. Boom! Airborne. Because, you know, there's no investment. But, I mean, it's my responsibility. I feel like you got to finish strong, guys. Come on. We're all a team.
I like to.
Only if I feel like it.
You know what? For me, it was always about gaining as much experience as I could. So even if I wasn't into it, I go, well, I'm going to do the best I can. I give it all till the clock runs out. You know what I mean? Even if the game is behind, if I'm up by a lot, it doesn't matter. For me, it's like, all right, maybe not for this girl, but like I need to get the experience. I need the rest.
Basketball player, that only kid that he dropped 30? That night,
and then everybody lose. Andre's like, there's no I in dick. I'm like, yeah, there is.
There is. He goes, oh, there is. All right.
There is an I in dick.
And then he goes, I is a dick.
My son got on the arm sleeve, the headband. Nigga, stylish as hell. Sneakers is clean.
And you losing by 40. Losing. You losing by 40.
No foreplay or defense. Man, either way.
I'm going
to never play defense. You crazy?
I'm like, come on, guys, let's get in the game. Let's get. That's. I don't know if you know this, man.
I'm trying to be LeBron, having special handshakes.
Trying to bring everybody together. I'm trying to do political. I'm political decourse after sex. I'm like, you know, we need to vote for the Senate.
Charity work, organizing.
I'm organizing. I got BLM on my shirt. I'm just all around, like Muhammad Ali.
Andre's just texting on the phone when he's done with the game. It's a wrap. Nah, it's a wrap.
But I'm playing Tetris.
Harry's yelling at him, get your head in the game.
Come on. We got to focus.
Amanda, you know that's classic orgy rules. Did you know that?
Really? What is it? What is that?
You got it. Like, so if you're in an orgy.
Uh-huh.
Right, everybody got to get fucked. You don't get to.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
People?
Especially
I'm not doing it then.
This is you don't have your head in the game, Amanda. You got to really.
You're not committed
to this
orgy.
You got the wrong attitude. You got the wrong attitude here.
It's rude to say no to someone in an orgy.
If it's like we're not just talking about like hooking up, but it's like if it's an orgy, like I'm. I've talked about this a couple of times. The check out the what's the episode? The Dirty Half Dozen.
The Dirty Baker's Dozen, because it was 13. So wait, Amanda. So to put this in context, he's not saying that you got to fuck everybody. He's saying if you're hosting an orgy, which is I've never been in that situation, but this is my understanding. Yeah. You got to make sure that everyone gets taken care of.
I'm thinking of host like a comedy way.
Yeah.
You got like a dude on the stage and everybody down there fucking and he's just throwing out jokes. Yeah, put your child over in the corner. Y'all
hey, where you guys, hey, where you guys coming in from? Yeah, it's right. Everybody, because otherwise if it jumps off, and this is probably like a surprise orgy, not like a like where you charging tickets, not like where you send out invites and stuff, but it just kind of breaks out. Everybody's hanging out, you know, watching the Tyson fight, and then it just everybody just right.
It's a fact. It's usually during Tyson fights during his era. Many
a lot of orgies going down, but everybody got to get fucked because if everybody doesn't, first of all, it's kind of unless it's you're talking about swinging, like real swingers who are just into that life. It's an unnatural thing. And so everybody needs to be taken care of. Uh-huh. If you don't, then they go, oh, and then people get insecure and then the lights come on. Not real. Well, they'll be like rubble, rubble.
Here's the thing.
Rubble.
Well, you're
here's
ugly anyway.
It's the same thing as sales. You don't want to give someone too much time to think about what they're doing because then they start to second guess stuff, you know, both good or bad, where they go, what am I, if you give too much time, if someone's into it, they can just go with the flow. But when there's too much time to think, it becomes
fast to me.
Oh, what am I doing? I'm a school teacher. Yeah. This is not what I signed up. I thought we were going out dancing.
Uh-huh. And then somebody yells, you're not even a school team. You're a paraprofessional, dog. Yeah. You didn't get your degree. Just suck the dick and shut up.
And then you're like, I'm not this type of person. Or you start thinking, what am I doing? What am I doing?
Tomorrow I got to go see my grandma.
But yo, D, don't that mean that moment is going to hit that person eventually? That mean all it is that when
son,
you
but I'm not going to want to hit it on my watch.
Not always. Here's the other thing, Andre, just not talking about orgies because I've never been in an orgy, but just other activities. Sometimes, especially women, they're scared because they have to look out for a lot of stuff, including their own reputation.
But they're also worried about the agency of the fact of what am I like? Is this okay? It's like a lot of times women are still in that position where they don't feel like they can express their sexuality. But I would say this. I just thought about what you said. Is that feeling going to hit them afterwards anyway? And I'm like, nah, people lie to themselves all the time. You could be in a 20-person game. We've had porn stars in one chick did a 60-dude gangbang, and then she was on here like, well, I'm the type of woman. You the type of woman that fucks 60 dudes.
Right.
And I'm shaming you.
Yeah.
Like, don't I'm saying 60 dudes. Like, but it's just, you once you're out of it, it's like you can always redirect, which is something that we've all experienced where somebody redefines the whole relationship into something else after the fact.
Oh, you mean lie?
Yeah.
Redefine, redirect.
Redefine, redirect, misspoke. I misfucked on this one.
Well, you pointed this out, Dante, in the past. You talk about a woman after the fact, because she has to look out for all her stuff, has to justify why she did or didn't do something. Yeah. So if she did fuck somebody, she has to justify why she fucked somebody. And if she didn't, she has to justify why she didn't.
Right. You know? Right. So if she does, then you could be a piece of shit and she's trying to justify it. Well, you know, he does have two legs and stuff, right? So it's not that bad. And if he doesn't, you're like, well, he got a hangnail. You know what I mean? It's like, I think people are so worried about the agency and how the agency looks. You find that, Amanda, like, is that in the back of your head too or no? Not really.
When you're having sex of like justifying it?
I'm just saying
it?
In general, do you have... I mean, I think things are changing in a way that women feel more empowered. But I mean, I think that agency, the culture is still prevalent. You know?
It is. There's slut shaming culture still there that you feel like probably maybe that even directs my decision to only have sex with guys that I'm in a relationship with. But it may be like I feel like, oh, this is slutty. Like he hasn't committed to you, or you feel like you're being used, or, you know, when you could just be like, oh, I enjoy this too. But I do think there's still shaming. I think it's in our psyche. It's just in our psyche that women who like sex are dirty and men, that's normal.
Yeah, but I don't know. You know, when we say it, you know, I was just thinking when you said slut shaming, because it's not like anybody else is slut shaming. It's like you doing it to yourself. It's like you're shitting on yourself. You know what I mean?
But it's in the culture. It's in the culture. There's like in covert messages that say, if you like sex, then you are dirty and weird. If you're a woman, if you're a man, it's perfectly normal. You know?
That's also a generational thing. It's going to take time. Like, this generation is definitely much better with that for women.
Yeah.
And it's safer and it's not as critical. But you're still growing up with, like, your family and your parents talking about it, your grandparents talking about it.
Well, I think we were talking about this in terms of I don't know if I've said, but it's in terms, like, so culture seems to always how should I put it? It guides the behavior. So consequence creates the culture, and then the culture defines the action. So the analogy I always use is like in L.A. Have you been out in L.A. before? No, you've been to L.A. So you're out in L.A., I would say you can't jaywalk, right? Nobody jaywalks in L.A. And because if you jaywalk, you can get a ticket. Like a cop will give you a ticket.
Die, bro. Yeah. Fuck the ticket. Yeah. You're gonna die.
Well, yeah, but I mean, we come on, Jay. We jaywalk all the time.
In L.A.?
In New York. I'm saying in New York.
L.A.
In New York. Andres. Hell yeah, jaywalk, gang, gang. But in L.A., not the fuck me. Uh-uh. And yeah.
Shit's Andres right in the sense.
Every road is a highway, but, yeah. Bro. I'm not jaywalking nothing.
But I'm saying in a town or like something, you, I mean, you. But,
bro, I was following the street laws out
but,
there, dude.
But that's my point. That's exactly my point. My point is, even if you don't get a ticket for jaywalking, right, the culture says that this is inappropriate behavior.
Yeah, right.
Whereas in New York, if you get a ticket jaywalking, you're gonna curse the cop out for like, yo, you don't have nothing else to do, you punk ass. But you know what I mean? Like it's almost a hostile thing. So here you have two laws and two ends of the coast, and you literally have a difference of culture in one on the East Coast than on the West Coast, where you don't do it and you don't. But that's because it was led by the fact that you would initially get tickets for jaywalking. So there's a consequence, and then the consequence creates the culture, and then
I think it's different from what created that culture. It's the shape of the city that created it. New York has these small ass streets, and you can reach the other side in a reasonable time. LA, the roads, bro, are fucking multiple lanes.
But not everywhere. I mean,
which I feel like that is the same reason how you say the design denotes purpose. The way the city layout is what makes the culture. The tiny road.
All right. You're from Queens, like Queens Boulevard. How many motherfuckers die on Queens Boulevard all the time?
And what's the nickname of Queens Boulevard?
I don't know what they call it.
Boulevard of Death. Oh. The way that shit worked denoted the culture, the way that place
right,
is set
but
up.
But no, but people
but
are
the
still...
The second you go on the inside streets, don't nobody call the inside streets death. You walk all over the place because it's small.
But people still get killed on Queens Boulevard, even though the culture is that. Even though they've named it Boulevard of Death, they still do it. It's a cultural thing. There's no consequence. I mean, I'm not saying you have to. I'm just saying there's no consequence, and people focus on the consequence, and then the consequence becomes culture. Because if you jaywalk in L.A., the people around you look like, yo, even on the little streets, say, yo, what are you doing?
I think they look at you like that because they're like, yo, you trying to die. You actually trying to go.
I don't think
people care about the $100 ticket that much because people speed. People park at
I'll give you a different
thing. Break the law of culture every day.
How about this? I'll give you a different thing. In New York and L.A., this happens a lot. But in New York, like, you'll just walk down the street and see a homeless guy full on taking a shit in the middle of the street. Yeah. And people don't bat an eye. You keep moving because...
Yeah. It's a different culture.
Yeah.
It's a different... In New York, you just... We got to go where we got to go. I mean, nobody crosses the BQE. You don't see some nigga waiting to cross the BQE. Although I've seen motherfuckers jumping over the divider on highways in New York. I'm just saying it's a different culture because, like what we're talking about, even with sex, there's an agency that says even though you should empower yourself, but there's a difference in culture. My point being, it's the culture changes. It's just like, you know, I always talk about it in reference to like Black Lives Matter and stuff. If you got cops and they're killing black dudes and there's no consequence, then what's the thing? If you realize that the way things is changing now is because there's actually consequence. When you look at these, like, these Karen videos and this chick is like, you're a nigga, and she's screaming it. And then the next thing is fired, lost a job, kicked out of the condo. Like, there's a consequence to it is what starts to change the culture. When there is no consequence, it doesn't change. Now, I'm not saying that the consequence changes the culture. I'm saying the consequence starts the thinking of this. So it's like even the slut shaming, years and years of slut shaming. So the culture is in place for what you're talking about, Amanda, in terms of, you know, women, you know, the slut shaming. That it's not even, it may not even be prevalent in your situation, but it's in your head because of the culture that we grew up with, you know?
Right, exactly.
I think there's a different element in that. I wonder, I say this all the time. It's like if you want to not have that dictate your behavior, you got to really work at it. You know, so because the feeling is like, oh, I'm being a slut. And then you go, then you have to have this come. I'm an empowered woman and I can make my own decisions. Yeah. And everybody's going, look, are you going to fuck me or not? Like, you know, this is all going, this court case is going in your head. You know what I mean?
Yes, it's complicated. You definitely hear both messages back and forth, you know, the slut shaming and then like, look, I'm sexually empowered. So,
Amanda, do you feel with that? You're pretty confident comedically and stuff, and you definitely talk about sex on social media in that sense, meaning sexually, like you have no qualms about writing jokes about it and talking about it, but do you feel sexually empowered as an individual?
Yeah, I do. I do because, I mean, when I'm with a partner that I trust, and again, a lot of my decision to be selective with a sexual partner is because I do have... I get attached. I definitely bond with a guy after sex. So to make my life less complicated, that's really more the reason than feeling like a slut.
Even recognize that. Like, Andre's not mature at all. But
I think Andre's regressed, actually, as he gets older.
His decisions,
and he smokes more weed.
A lot of his decisions are mature just because he's in touch. He don't have a lot of feelings, but the ones that he has, he's very clear about it. So Andre would be like, nah, yo, I'm going to have 2-3 girls. Like, nah, nah, I'm good. I don't even know if I want to have one for real. So it's like it's a mature thing to recognize that this is how I feel. Like, this is just, I don't really want that. Like, that's a mature thing to go to, not get into the minutia. Yo, I don't want to do that.
That is so the opposite of what a lot of guys do, by the way. So what Amanda is doing, she goes, I think this is going to be a problem down the line. So let me make sure that I don't get involved. As opposed to a guy, like a girl is like breaking beer bottles. And if she's like, let me see if I could get in on that.
Right.
She's not with a boyfriend. No one's stopping her from breaking the beer bottle.
Somebody is working at a Foot Locker and is fucking their manager. Like that.
Right. Who hasn't been there?
Right. I'm saying.
Right, Andre?
Kids out there, man. Wild kids.
And then you get fired from Foot Locker. You got to move over to Foot Action. Is that correct, Andre?
No, I was working at, what was it? No, I did work at Foot Action.
Yeah, I remember you saying you worked at Foot Action. I think you made your way through the whole circuit. Champions, I mean, the whole thing.
Foot Locker.
And then a very short stint at KB Toys. It was very interesting.
He's working at DSW now. Just
the litany of part-time jobs that I got fired from.
Andre
then
did
you found comedy, Dre.
Andre pulled a train at Payless.
He did a short stint.
Everything, son.
He said at the thrift shop in the shoe department. He don't give a fuck.
So Amanda, all right. So I want to get maybe a female perspective on this, as if, you know, other women, not necessarily you. How's the pandemic been treating your friends and stuff? Like, have they gone wild with it, or what's going on? Like, sexually?
It's normal. I think in the beginning, everyone was really scared. Oh my God, what if I get COVID from this guy? And now people are just like, I'm in a dating app. We're going to go to this restaurant. We're going to eat outside. I don't feel like people, I have a few friends that have been crazy cautious during this pandemic, but most of my friends have been
just kind of doing it.
I just feel like people are over it. They're over the restrictions, you know?
Real quick, I want to shout out, I don't know if you heard this, Dre. I don't know if I even told you, but Keith had a stroke. Keith Robinson had a stroke.
Stroke.
So please, fans, if y'all, you know, Keith is a fan of the show, please send your thoughts and prayers to Keith. Go on his social media and tell him, tell him to get better, say?
So he can get back on the streets and make women uncomfortable again. Like, we know Keith. Keith's natural place.
Keith told me, I love this COVID because I could just wear a mask legally.
He's the only one who got excited.
He's like, but I could just be creepy. He just, you know, he's like just looking at every, he looks at you over the mask. It still look creepy. Wow. How you doing there, young thing? So, yeah, but he had another stroke.
Oh, boy.
Yeah,
so I'm my so boy. Sorry to hear.
Yeah, yeah, it's crazy. I actually had a dude, and I wanted to shout a fan of the show too. Did I tell you this, Harry, that this guy Dizzle?
I'm familiar with Dizzle, but
you do. You didn't
mean I know Dizzle. Yeah, yeah.
You know, he killed himself, committed suicide.
No,
you know Dizzle, like personally.
I do. I mean, yeah, we've been in contact with stuff. Jeez.
Yeah, he killed himself. So
this is a real Jesus. Hold on.
Yeah.
How did you find this about?
So I, you know, I do the he's done my I do a comedy workshop, like writing workshop on Zoom, where, like, you know, I'll have like 15 people on Zoom.
Yeah, I remember
the
Dizzle.
Premise out, and I'll just, you know, like pump it up, why it works, why it doesn't work, with, you know. And he had taken my class a couple of times, and then he had responded to me where he wanted to do a one-on-one, like an hour personal consulting of about his comedy, right? So another thing, if anybody wants to do that, they, you know, they can hit me up on my website and whatever. And he did this joke. Like, I didn't really know him at first. I didn't know he was following the podcast, but he did this. The joke started like, so I'm ugly. And I was
I
like,
I remember that.
Right. You remember that? And then,
you're like, you're not.
And I'm like, yeah. Like, I mean, you're not handsome.
What's
like
wrong with saying that though.
Huh?
What's wrong with saying that?
No, because he's not.
He wasn't ugly. So it's comedically, yeah, it didn't make sense.
Y'all know Shabba.
Yeah,
Shabba Ranks. Yeah. They call me Mr. Ugly Man. They call me Mr.
Yeah, yeah,
ugly
yeah, 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 yeah.
These are words. You can give yourself whatever power you decide, and you could you can decide how you want to play this shit. I'm fat, black, and ugly as ever, but however, I stay coogee down to the side. Like,
yeah, but Dre, isn't that? That's an empowerment of.
But you could. He could have that mindset.
Yeah, but it wasn't that. Do you know what I'm saying?
I don't
like
know.
Like Shabba was like, I mean, he was embracing his ugly and he was getting laid, and you know what I'm saying? Where it's just like when he said that, we were talking about it, he was like, so anyway, I'm ugly, and I go, wait, okay, first of all, in order for you to in order for the, and I'm not saying you can't make the joke work because people will go on the ride with you, but I'm always, when it comes to comedy, that truth is the most important thing. If you don't believe that, right, then it a lot of times it doesn't ring true. It's incongruent with your comedy set. And so I was like, so when he said, you know, I'm ugly, I looked at him like, if you know, like if you're a decent looking guy and you start off with, so I'm ugly, right, the audience will resent you sometimes. Like, you know, you get a pretty girl, yeah, and she'll be like, it's like, I can't get laid, and everybody's going, bitch, shut up. You know what I mean? It's so inconsistent. And I'm not saying, Dre, honestly, Dre, I'm not saying that I saw it then, but I just performed with Gary Vee, and Gary Vee does a lot of self-deprecating stuff and whatnot. But it was just really like, and I was like, well, so I didn't say, it's funny because I didn't say you can't do a joke about that. I go, do people tell you you're ugly? And he was like, nah, but I know it, you know? And I'm like, so nobody tell, where are you getting, I mean, he wasn't a dapper dude, but
he was not ugly. I remember remember thinking that because my thing.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? It's,
sure, yeah, I remember.
Like,
I
go, here's the thing. Even ugly. In comedy, Dre, it's funny you say that, because even if you go a guy who's unattractive, he goes, yeah, so I'm ugly. You go, all right, it piques your interest because you're like, well, where's he going with this? You know what I mean? But he really wasn't going nowhere with it. He was just did not like himself. He just really didn't like himself, and then he corresponded with me a few times, and I think we might have did a consultation or two, and maybe no one consultation, and we talked, and I was like, dog, I never, when I teach comedy, I don't ever say you can't do this or you can't do that. I just go, well, what are you trying to accomplish? Like, what are you really trying to say? What is the truth of this? Right? So if he thinks he's ugly, it's fine. He can talk about it. It's like, even if everybody doesn't think he's ugly, it's interesting. It's an interesting bit to talk about why this guy who's fairly average looking or even above average looking would think why does he think that? To delve into that is what makes the bit interesting. So I'm delving into it, and he really had no explanation other than it's just, oh, I know it. I know. And I'm like, do people tell you that? He's like, they have. I go, but is that like a thing where people say that? No. So this is more about how you feel inside. And we were digging into it to find the root of it so he could write the joke. And then, and I was like, this, nobody looks at you and goes, this is an ugly dude. And so it's a harder sell because, you know, one thing about comedy is that we have to deal from a base level where we're in agreement. You know, if we're talking, if I'm doing, if I'm a Dutch comic and I'm talking about salted pickled fish, I'll go with you, but you got to explain to me what
why can't Dutch people like pickled fish?
They can. I'm just saying, if you're not familiar with it, you want to hear it. I mean, it's actually fine. I'm just saying, but you got to explain it to me. You understand what I'm saying, Dre, right? Like, if it's something they don't understand, they'll go on the ride with you, but you got to, okay, let me explain what, you got to explain that first before, because there's the humanity in it where, you're going, I'll go on the ride with you, but just explain it to me. In fact, it's interesting. I think it's even interesting when it's, you know, when it's something that I don't agree with and it brings me something that I would, you understand what I'm saying, man? Like, you're bringing something to me that I don't understand. I'm willing to go on the ride, but explain it to me first. You can't you can't be like, well, it's the Valkenshore pickles is much better than the, and I'm like, dog, you lost me.
What documentary did you watch, bro?
What, the Valkenshore?
Valkenshore pickles, salted pickle fish.
Son, Harry knows I watch Maury Povich and deep dive documentaries.
You got like three more salt pickle references in between. Right now.
Nothing in between.
I tell you,
Dante will talk to me an hour about a documentary about the history of slavery, and then he goes, "Oh, I gotta go with Little People's Week on the Maury Povich show."
I do like a little.
It's funny as shit.
I was watching Action Bronson.
Get it?
Fucking delicious. You ever watch that?
Hell yeah.
And he goes all over the world, and he went to Iceland and went to chefs in Iceland, and they was fucking
salted with pickle fish.
Yeah. I was like, all right.
I knew it came from somewhere.
Yeah. but this dude, so I called to confirm about the consultation, and his mom picked up, and his mom was like, he had passed. First she said she passed away, and I was like, oh, man. And I just called back to check up, and then she was like, well, he committed suicide. And I'm like, man.
Oh, man.
And then I felt bad because, like, I was incommunicado with this dude, and I felt like I should have been more, you know, you always, hindsight is 20/20. I was like, man, it's on Monday morning quarterback. We're like, I remember he did this joke about, maybe it's just me. He did this thing about being ugly, and I was trying to explain it, and he couldn't really explain it. And it was just, he was like, no, I just am. And I was like, you know.
It's sad that sometimes your own perspective of yourself is not accurate, and you can make it very negative.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it ends up affecting it. Sometimes, you know, it's like art imitates life sort of mentality, like your mentality. Then if you think that's what you are, you behave that way, you know, and your self-esteem is very low because of that. And it's
that's a really good point. I want to let's shut it down. And when we're going to do Amanda, if you can hang out with us for a little bit, and we're going to do
before we shut down, I want Amanda. Amanda's doing it. She just started a podcast. So I want Amanda just to let us know about the podcast, what it's who she's doing it with and all that. So,
yeah,
we'll do all the plugs and then we'll pick up and continue on.
All right. Talk about the podcast.
Let us know.
The podcast is Thirst Trap. I do it with very funny comedian Natalie Cuomo. We're found at Thirst Trap the Pod on Instagram. It's about, we talk about social media, we talk about dating, we talk about lifestyle, we answer listener questions. So if you have a question about dating or anything, job, friends, anything, message us on Thirst Trap the Pod on Instagram. And check us out. New episode drops every Thursday. And
Dre, do your plugs.
Yo, Andre D. Thompson, Between Spots, Andre D. Thompson, on all of it. Just type that in on your phone. You will find me.
All right. Harry, talk to me.
You could go to my website, ihatecomedy.com. That's where I'm doing all my stuff at. I don't have any live dates at the moment, but I'm probably more in the spring. I'm still doing Catalyst Wrestling, which is going on. And also definitely check out the Man School 202 Instagram, Real Man School 202, and also the Man School 202 YouTube page. We want subscribers for all of that to help us keep growing, but most importantly, the Patreon, patreon.com/manschool202. And you're gonna, that's where you can get bonus episodes, including our continuing conversation with Amanda and us, a lot of other extra stuff, us messing around, some extra bonus video that's up there, and also premium content and access to the Q&A's. We'll answer your questions first and foremost. So
there's a few ways you can support us. You can always like us and subscribe to the YouTube page and subscribe to all our social media, but the best way to help us out is to sign up for the Patreon. That's patreon.com/manschool202. GYBB, get your balls back. WWDD, what would Dante do? The sexual revolution is being podcasted. Yo, I love y'all. We're gonna see you behind the paywall on Patreon. I love y'all. Let's do it. Let's get it. Manschool 202 is created by Dante Nero, hosted by Dante Nero, with Harry Turjanian and Andre D. Thompson, produced by Harry Turjanian. Executive producers, Matt Kleinschmidt, Harry Turjanian, and Dante Nero.